One matter that I like to emphasize is among Illinois' higher education institutions, public institutions, Western's the only one that was really initiated by a distinctive social cause. Yes, there were other teacher training schools already, such as Illinois State at Bloomington Normal with the first one. But Illinois had, at the start of the 20th century, a vast number of country schools, well over 10,000 of them, that had poorly prepared teachers for the most part. Grades 1 through 8, often in a single room, one teacher was trying to manage, and often that teacher had no teacher training or college at all. And some people recognized that that was a tremendous social disadvantage for rural youngsters, of which there were more rural youngsters in those days, of course, than there are now. And so Western was set up to prepare teachers for just the lower grades, 1 through 8, and especially to have them available to teach in rural schools. That was their cause. The initiator of it, in my view, after a lot of research over the years, was a guy named Alfred Bayless, who was the Illinois Superintendent of Public Instruction. Bayless was named as the second president of Western. He came in 1906, really, and he immediately upgraded the teaching staff. He enlarged the normal school program to include classes, for example, in agriculture, domestic science, or in other words, home economics, and education itself. One of the most important things he did was develop a model country school that was located just west of Macomb, and it became rather famous, attracting teachers and superintendents from across the United States, really, who came to see how this model country school operated.
The Western Illinois Normal School, was that the name?
Western Illinois State Normal School was the name that Western had in its early years, and that lasted until 1921, when it was changed to Western Illinois State Teachers College.
And were these graduates of Western staying in the region and going to schools, or were they being sent across the state?
At that time, a regional school like Western or Eastern for that matter, or Northern or Southern that were already in existence, tended to draw most of their students from their home region in the state. Students who came here and then went out to teach after incidentally getting a 2-year degree, they didn't have a 4-year degree yet at the beginning, but going out to teach, generally stayed, at least for a period of time, within the Western Illinois region.
Western was started as this teacher institution for training teachers for rural communities. When did it evolve and start adding other majors?
That's a good question. More specialized education with majors came in during World War I. By the start of World War I, students at Western could achieve some measure of specialization in various fields so that they could not only get a 2-year general teaching degree, but also could get a special diploma in a certain subject if they wanted to. And formally, the actual designation of majors came in 1917, when the war was still on. By 1918, the closing year of the war, Western had 15 departments in it. So it was no longer just a generalized place. And Western became a college, too, officially. In 1921, it was designated by the state of Illinois as Western Illinois State Teachers College. And the size of its faculty and student body grew steadily, though rather modestly, through the 20s. And Western, however, maintained a deep sense of community, too. that a common, unified educational purpose to which everyone was devoted.
So we saw that focus on teacher education up until Western became a university, and then it had further diversification in its offerings.
Yes, and it's a slow process of change over a period of time. Another thing that came along during World War II, in which President Frank Bew, was in charge, Western responded again to public need. In this case, there was the need for pilot training, for example, for young men who wanted to go into the service. And so we provided pilot training. In fact, by 1942-43 school year, in the middle of the war, Western began offering a complete war curriculum here, which consisted of 1 and 2 year courses designed to turn out skilled people in a lot of high priority fields at the time, like chemical engineering, map drafting, pre-nursing, and that kind of thing.
Wow. So they were really adapting to the time.
Adapting to the time. That's one of the keys about Western, outside of its intense sense of community and its social purpose, was adapting to cultural change. And the World War II developments in the curriculum are a prime example of that. Of course, when the war ended and veterans started coming, many of them had the GI Bill of Rights, and enrollment starts to really climb. 1946, enrollment reached almost 1,200. It led into very significant growth, and that came along with the rise of the baby boom generation going to college in 1963, which incidentally happens to be the year when I arrived on campus as a freshman. The enrollment of the whole university hit 4,477. And the freshman class alone, my freshman class, had 2,248 students in it, by far the largest freshman class ever. And that was just the beginning. As you move through the 60s, it became more and more, and so that you were hitting about 10,000 students by the end of the 60s.
How did Western respond to that rapid increase in student enrollment?
It was, we could talk about that forever and ever, because it was a vast problem. The president at that time, A.L. Knoblaugh, who was hired in 1958 and was president for 10 years, had to focus on that, not only developing more programs, but simply more facilities. And the number of buildings that he got money for from the state and was able to get built during his 10 years as president is just absolutely remarkable. As president, during that expansion period, he had supervised $54 million in capital development. That would be the equivalent of hundreds of millions of dollars in capital development today. And we didn't know at the time how big Western was going to get. There was a lot of guessing going on, and some people assumed that Western would have 20,000 students someday by the 1970s, or 25,000. And it never got up that high, but it did by the mid-1970s was the high point. And it got up to be about 15,000 students total.
100-plus years later, you feel that Western is still, you know, holding its same mission and core values as it looks to educate this region?
It still has a similar mission. It's, of course, it was originally totally education, but it still has a similar mission to what it has had in recent decades, a variety of fine programs for people to choose from, high quality in a lot of ways in terms of the teaching. And so that's of course continuing, but so we've got the basis of for coming back, you know, as a university that is broadly focused and has a broad and important purpose within the state of Illinois. And nevertheless, there's considerable anxiety, of course, because of the budget impasse recently, the layoffs, the furloughs or forced periods of time that people were had to take away from their jobs. And nevertheless, the enrollment is right now at about 7,200 and some at the Macomb campus. Of course, that's down to about half of what it was at its highest point in the 1970s. And hopefully that's going to go up as things stabilize and we get a better budget situation in the state of Illinois. But we've got the kind of people that can continue to provide successful programs, educational programs in a wide variety of fields.
And as the university is looking now to make those sort of adjustments to the school based off of declines in state funding and student enrollment, and as you mentioned, you know, there's been those layoffs and elimination of a few program majors, and they're talking now about the potential realignment of the university. We've seen some of that, though, in the past, right, as the university has grown, dropped some programs, moved forward with others, created new ones. I mean, it's a living organism in a lot of respects that has changed over time. And this is just another one of those changes, you think, if we're putting it in a historical perspective and context?
Ultimately, it's hard for any of us, even administrators at this point, to know exactly whether Western is going to change its focus and become more of a technical kind of school. That's one of the questions, rather than a comprehensive university. Ultimately, I don't know. It's possible that we could become more of a technical school and not have a broad, comprehensive variety of programs. I kind of doubt it. I think we're going to stay with remaining a comprehensive university. Because we've got so many good people here already in a variety of different fields. And I think we've got a good reputation for having produced graduates, a vast amount of alumni who know that we have produced wonderful graduates in a wide variety of fields. So I don't think that we're going to narrow down and become a kind of technical school. Everybody fears that at this point, that could happen, and it is a possibility, but I really doubt it.
Would that be a 180 for the university, or would it be, again, you know, responding to the time?
Well, it would be responding to the times, but let me say this, that whatever we do, if you become a technical training school, and you don't have the immense commitment to a deep social purpose and educating people so that they understand the world they live in, they can help cope with the problems in it. In other words, if you have that kind of focus, then you're still Western. You're still an extension of what Western used to be. If you're simply turning out people because they can make more money in this field than they can make in another field, then you've kissed a lot of Western's values from the past. What really made it significant, you've kind of kissed those goodbye. So we've got to be careful, whatever we do, that we maintain a deep sense of social commitment, that we turn out people who are graduates who have a broad education, who can understand a great deal, maybe not just about a specific field like nursing or law enforcement, but how does that fit into what we know about social life and the nature of human beings and changing world culture and things like that. So again, I'm talking like an advocate of liberal arts education, which I am,
yes.
Of course, known for
guilty,
being.
Guilty, right? Well, can that, though, be accomplished just through general education requirements, or does it require more than that as far as the offerings go for the university?
Well, it can be through general education requirements if you have a really good general education program. So students are required to take a variety of classes that give them a broad background in various fields, then it's fine to have the majors in whatever particular field. And I hope that within those fields, whether they're business-oriented or whatever, that also within those departments and colleges, they relate them to larger matters. I think that's a key, because ultimately all fields are related to larger matters of human needs and cultural change and so forth. And Western should really be still emphasizing that kind of thing, social concern, because that is our heritage in a very striking way, as I've pointed out. And that, I think, has done a lot toward having the producing students that have had a very positive attitude toward their experience at Western. It was a life-changing thing for them, really opened them up, really deepened them a great deal. It just didn't provide them with a degree that allows them to go make money someplace. And so I think we need to make sure that we're emphasizing that kind of thing, that broader, deeper cultural perspective. And then, fine, in regard to whatever fields you have to emphasize.
But this is the first time that Western has made changes, you know, based off of decline, right? I mean, what we've talked about previously was changes made out of growth and expansion. Or have there been times in the past where there was program elimination or?
Well, in a sense, there's always some fluctuation. There's always been program elimination because of cultural change. Home economics was big years ago because so many young women took that and then went out and taught home economics in high school and things like that. But cultural change takes place. And so you have those things replaced or altered very significantly to create other kinds of related fields. So you're always responding to cultural change. There's no question about it. But it's a question of relating the dynamics of cultural change to overall commitment to society as a whole, to the culture that we find ourselves in, which is changing also at a dramatic rate that's unheard of in the history of the world. In other words, as I've told many classes myself over the years, the world you're born into is not, if you live a normal life span, is not going to be the world that you pass away in. It's going to be a very different world. And that is a fairly recent phenomenon, recent generations, that the world changes so very much in a single lifetime. And we need to be aware of that, but we need to also make people sensitive to the nature of those changes. Just think of environmental factors alone, for example, which everybody needs to understand, the implications of which are very deep and enormous, but also social change in a variety of other ways, too, regarding ethnic groups and cultural groups and so on. We need to continue to emphasize what makes for a better world and what we can do to help people in a broad sense and make our own culture better, as well as turning out people who can get a good job with their degree from Western.
A popular phrase President Jack Thomas says quite frequently is, you know, Western's been here 100 years and it'll be here 100 more. Is that your belief as well?
I think it will be. Question is, how will it be reshaped, of course, and changed over that period of time? Yes, Western will be here, I think, for a long, long time to come, and still doing some important work in education. Again, my caution would be that we remain aware of our heritage, remain aware of the importance of social commitment here at Western, and do the best as we adapt our programs to cultural change, to have a broader vision of things.
Those were all the questions I had. Was there anything else that you wanted to mention? Wonderful. Well, thank you. This was